Chapter 13.
Father, we have good news,
Aliona declared as she held up her hand mirror. King Rodion's face appeared on the normally mirrored surface, and I recognized the high-backed purple chair on his balcony in the background, though the increased dark clouds were a less pleasant addition. Aliona's father had his long white hair swept back into a ponytail at the nape of his neck, which revealed each of the worry lines that creased his neck and face. Exceptionally good news, I added.
Ah, I'm intrigued, Rodion chuckled. What is this exceptionally good news?
We found the next noble of the sword,
Aliona explained.
Sky is the mistress of the Sword of Youth, and we're training her. She's prepared to do the Redeem Evincio ceremony.
A woman noble of the sword?
Her father's eyes widened in surprise.
That is incredibly rare. Are you certain?
I had only focused on how convenient it was that Skye was the noble and a woman when it came to the ceremony, so I hadn't thought about whether it was normal. Skye was obviously a warrior, and Juniper clearly supported her new mistress. I wondered how many other nobles of the sword we would meet were women, but for now, I had to focus on Skye.
Oh yeah, I laughed. She's definitely the one for the sword. I had to help her with a challenge for it, but everything is good now. She wants to help us close the breach, and she's on board with the ceremony.
Who challenged a noble of the sword? Rodion asked with a raised eyebrow.
Her half-brother,
Aliona answered.
She didn't know he existed, but Lord Evan took care of it, so we're ready to bring her to you.
Wonderful!
The king clasped his hands together before he waved at someone we couldn't see.
Caster, prepare the ceremonial items.
We can leave as soon as you're ready, I said. Aliona is going to portal us directly to the cliff.
The cliff?
Carmen repeated with a look of horror.
Our first time in a portal, and you're going to have us land on a cliff?
It's larger than it sounds,
Trina assured her with a grin.
I agree, Rodion murmured. The less time we take to get there, the less chance there is of any other danger sneaking up on us.
Yeah, the two-headed serpent things weren't very fun,
Isabella chimed in.
Oh, Gus,
Carmen muttered as she paled drastically.
Don't worry,
Skye laughed.
We're with the best people to handle crazy stuff, right?
Right.
Lyca dipped her head as her fluffy gray tail swished around behind her.
Then we'll meet you on the cliffs in half an hour, Rodion said. Once Castor has gathered everything, Iskander will take us there.
You don't want to use a portal too?
Aliona wondered and cocked her head to the side in confusion.
I don't want to draw from my magic, her father replied with a frown. I can't risk weakening the seals any further. Something in the breach has already grown stronger, and I fear giving the demons any opportunity to break my hold.
Okay, then we'll leave shortly, I agreed. Be careful.
As always, my dear son,
the king said, and a shadow of a smile crossed his lips before he disconnected the mirror spell.
So, I don't need a hairbrush then?
Carmen murmured and looked down at herself.
But I'll be meeting the King of Rama. I need to at least put on my nice toga.
All right, I agreed. But we're leaving in 20 minutes. Anyone who isn't ready isn't going. Carmen nodded and rushed back upstairs to change clothes, and the dryads glanced at me before they followed the Nepin woman back to her room.
Sorry about my mum,
Skye said with a blush.
I told you, she worries about appearances, so being in front of the king is a big deal for her. I mean, it is for me too, but I'm not worried about how I look. I just don't want him to think I'm weird.
Why would he think that?
Lyca asked.
Because I'm, you know, different.
The Naiad Nepin answered and looked down at her feet.
There is absolutely nothing wrong with being different,
Aliona said in a firm voice as she took Skye's hand.
No one is perfect.
You seem pretty perfect,
Skye replied.
You're beautiful, magical, and a princess.
And I'm having a half-dragon child,
my wife chuckled.
He or she is destined to be different, just like you.
That's the other link I felt.
Skye gasped and looked up with a half-smile.
I knew there was someone else there, but it was such a small connection, I wasn't sure what it was.
Yes, that's the baby,
Aliona replied, as she patted her belly proudly.
So small, and yet so strong already.
Amazing,
Skye sighed.
I suppose being different isn't all that bad as long as you aren't stuck in Yorosa.
Exactly, I agreed. I told you, any of those idiots here who don't think you are great are dumb. You deserve better than this city.
You may be right,
my newest lover murmured. But our conversation was cut short when Carmen and the Dryads came back down the stairs. The older Nepin wore a long black toga with a gold belt, and I had to agree she looked much nicer. She stepped onto the floor and did a quick spin as my lovers clapped and laughed with her.
That does look much better,
Marina giggled.
See, I told you,
Carmen replied with a smile as she ran her fingers through her freshly brushed hair.
Now I feel acceptable to be seen by His Eminence.
I think he'll be focused on other things, Nike murmured in my ear.
Probably. I nodded my amused agreement before I raised my voice for everyone to hear. Are we all ready to go now?
I think so.
Sky chuckled.
Whenever you are.
All right, I said with a glance at Aliona. The princess turned around and began the portal spell. The crackle of her magic echoed around the living room as the familiar circle started to appear at the tip of her finger, and I watched Carmen and Sky stare at the portal as it opened wider and wider, until a perfect view of the ceremonial cliffs came into view. Swirls of dark clouds hung over the flat plateau in stark contrast to the bright green grass, but I couldn't see if anyone else was there yet. I took Aliona's and Sky's hands in mine before I led everyone through the magical doorway onto the ceremonial cliffs. The reeking stench of the breach immediately assaulted my nose, and I grunted in disgust as we all stepped onto the grass.
What is that?
Carmen wrinkled her nose and grimaced as she looked around. It's the breach, I answered. It stinks of miasma, and until we get it closed, that's one of many dangerous things that everyone here has to deal with.
Oh.
The Nepin woman exhaled with wide eyes. She seemed to finally realize why Sky wanted so badly to do the blood ceremony with me and put an end to the breach. It was a risk to leave the tear open, and it would take some powerful magic to handle it.
There's my father!
Aliona called out as she pointed into the sky. I looked up to see a familiar set of white scales as my fellow dragon Iskander swooped overhead and came to a gentle landing on the plateau next to us. Rodion and Castor slid from his back before Iskander shifted back to his human form and greeted me with a solid grasp on my forearm.
Good to see you, brother,
he murmured. And you, I agreed with a grin. How have the villagers been doing?
Certainly better without the hell beasts, the dragon chuckled. Only a few minor issues I handled without incident.
Good to hear, I said, and turned to the king. Nice to see you as well, Your Eminence.
Your manners have improved, I see,
the king teased, though his smile didn't quite meet his amethyst eyes.
I'm sure we both have my daughter to thank for that.
You'd be right, I replied, as I smiled at Aliona. And let me introduce you to the newest noble of the sword, Sky, and her mother, Carmen. The two women bowed to the king as he took their hands and offered a grim smile.
It is no small task you are undertaking by helping us rid the world of the breach. But your bravery and strength is commendable, and our people owe you great thanks, even if they don't know it yet.
We're honored to join Lord Evan in his quest,
Sky replied as she rose to her feet. Ah, someone besides the Oracle calling our work a quest. I felt like King Arthur all over again.
Then this ceremony is sure to be blessed as the others have been.
King Rodion offered a wider smile as he looked over everyone.
Now, let us begin.
I started to walk toward the cliff where we would perform the ceremony when the ground below us began to vibrate. The sensation started in my boots, but it quickly traveled up until my head nearly throbbed.
Something is wrong!
Mariah shrieked.
Everyone move!
I yelled, and pointed for the path back to the castle. My people ran toward the stone path as they formed a protective circle around the king. I drew the sword of Hatra from my belt and searched the cliffs for another creepy serpent or giant magical tree, but nothing appeared except a large crack that zigzagged across the plateau. It looked like someone had taken the world's largest Sharpie to the grass until the crack began to expand as wide as my hand, then my boot. Then I realized I was on the wrong side of the crevice. I leapt over the gash just as it split open even wider, and the entire surface of the ceremonial cliffs tumbled over the side of the mountain. The huge chunk of land crumbled into pieces until large clods of dirt and grass were all that landed in the valley below. A feeling of dark foreboding fell over me, and I sensed Mariah's fear as I peeked over the edge toward the shattered cliffs and the edge of the breach. A shiver passed through me, and something told me the shadowy figure was the one responsible for the attack on the cliff. He obviously didn't want us to do the Redeemivincio ceremony, which meant we were getting closer to defeating him. "Is everyone okay?" I asked, as I turned away from the destruction and faced my people.
"You cut that one a little too close,"
Marina pouted as she scrunched up her nose.
"You almost fell down with it."
"Nah, I would have flown away first," I retorted with a smile. "No need to worry about that."
"I'll check the perimeter for any other monsters,"
Iskander offered. "Good idea," I agreed. "I'll join you." While Iskander shimmied around to make room for his transformation, I took the more dramatic approach and jumped from the cliff to change midair, and I heard the collective gasp from my lovers before I zoomed back into the sky in my dragon form. My black scales glistened in the morning sun, and I bared my fangs as I grinned at them and winked.
"You look incredible,"
Sky breathed as she gawked up at me.
"I've never seen anything like this."
"Doesn't he just take your breath away?"
Polina sighed and batted her eyelashes in my direction.
"Yes, he seems to enjoy surprising everyone,"
Carmen retorted.
"We've only been here 10 minutes and already almost died. Now I'm watching not one but two dragons, who everyone thought were extinct, by the way, fly around and look for something else trying to attack us."
I gave Aliona an exasperated look, and she smiled softly and clucked her tongue before she walked over to reassure the Nepen woman. I hoped Carmen wouldn't try to talk Sky out of doing the ceremony again, and I needed Aliona to make sure everything was still in place. If whoever lived in the breach was worried about us continuing the ceremony, that was even more reason to make sure we did it. I nodded to Iskander, and we took flight over the mountains. We looped around the plateau to make sure no creatures had snuck up the other side of the peak. But it seemed the earth-shattering blow to the ceremonial cliff was the only danger we faced at that moment.
"I guess that's it," I grunted. "Looks like Creepy Shadow Guy tried something new when his creature horde didn't work."
"No more monsters,"
Iskander sounded slightly disappointed.
"I didn't even get to fight the Queres last time."
"You wanted to fight the weird tree guys?" I barked a laugh. "Why were they so special?"
"Their kind has been dead for hundreds of years," he explained. "That's why the king was so surprised to see them. It was once said they were the first trees to ever exist on Inati."
"They were total psychos," I replied with a frown, as we veered around to head back to the group. "Were they always like that?"
"No," the white dragon said and shook his large head. "I have a feeling it had something to do with the breach. It must have transformed their spirits."
"Oof, man, that's rough," I muttered, as we landed on the precipice, and we started to transform again when Rodion held up his hand to stop us.
"Lord Evan, I'm afraid we have a problem," he declared, as he looked over Iskander and me. "Though I believe you two should be able to solve it."
"What's wrong?" I asked.
"We have to find somewhere else to perform the ceremony,"
the king answered, as he tugged on his beard and thought.
"But where?"
"Can't we do it in the temple?" I wondered.
"No."
Rodion frowned and met my gaze.
"The cliffs were special because we worked for days to cleanse them. It's the reason we chose it for your marriage ceremony as well."
"We who?" I looked at Aliona curiously.
"Not my daughter," the king said. "A group of sorcerers gathered here to help me."
"What makes it cleansed?"
Isabella wondered.
"It isn't tainted by war or hatred," the king answered. "It has been cleansed of the evil left behind by such heinous actions and emotions, and then protected by several layers of pure magic."
"What about all the beasts that attacked here before?"
Laika's furry gray ears twitched with curiosity.
"Though he did take lives here, even the battles Lord Evan faced at the last ceremony couldn't penetrate the level of magic we'd put in place," he said. "I suspect that's why our mystery guest in the breach decided to get rid of the whole thing."
"So we wouldn't have anywhere to do the ceremony," I murmured.
"Precisely,"
Rodion agreed, and pinched the bridge of his nose tiredly.
And now we have nowhere to do the ceremony.
What if you called one of those other sorcerer guys? I suggested. Surely they have their own cleansed places for important stuff, right?
They might, he sighed. But unfortunately, in order for me to perform the ceremony, it must be within Raman borders, and my accomplices for the cleansing were from all over the world. Several of them have long since passed on from this life. But even if they were alive, I can't guarantee any of them have the strength to perform the Redeem Evincio. I'm only able to do so while maintaining the seal because of the coins.
My mind flashed back to the magical coins we'd discovered in Pullis, and how Rodion and Aliona had recreated them to help keep the king's strength at full power without killing him with exhaustion.
Not to mention, none of them have my father's ability, which he humbly failed to mention,
Aliona pointed out.
They may not even be able to create the bond as well as he has done, if they know how to do the ceremony at all.
Okay, so let's cleanse somewhere else, I suggested with a shrug. Is it hard? I can go find some more flowers or sage or whatever.
I wish it were that simple, the king sighed. I had to gather a group before because it takes an enormous amount of power to cleanse and purify the land. I could ask them to return to a new location, but it could take days to get them all here.
We can't wait days, I grunted.
I know,
Rodion replied, and he nodded his head in agreement.
That's why I said you and Iskander will be able to solve it. You'll simply have to find somewhere that's already been cleansed. It will most likely be close to the temple since it holds the most power.
I feel like you're using the term simply very loosely here, I grumbled. How are we going to find that? You said it took a lot of work to cleanse this one.
You have healing magic, he explained. You should be able to sense a location that has been healed of its burdens and pain. It should call to you in a way.
I looked over at Aliona, who smiled with encouragement, and I released a sigh. All right. You all head back to the castle. We'll go on the search for some purified land. The king, his right-hand man, Nike, Carmen, and my lovers began the short trek back to the temple, while Iskander and I headed for the blue skies. I had no idea how we were going to find this sacred, cleansed place, but Rodion had faith in me, so I needed to trust that. He was old as hell, so he had to be wise, right? I sighed to myself as we flew across the Mihiretti Mountains to search the area for a land that called out to me as clean.
You'll find it,
Mariah said with a note of encouragement in her voice.
If the king says you can, then you can.
I keep telling myself that, I grumbled back.
Oh, I know,
she giggled.
I'll help you too, don't worry.
We flew over the mountain villages, and I was pleased to see the village that had avoided death by making a deal with a hellbeast was helping their neighbor village with repairs. I didn't particularly feel like unleashing my wrath on them today, so it was good to know the brothers I'd met had followed through on their promise to look after the other village. As we skimmed through the clouds, I saw Bruven's Peak ahead and wondered if that would be cleansed or purified or whatever.
Haven't you tested the gods enough?
Mariah teased. Yeah. Aeron seemed pretty intent on the whole god of punishment thing last time we were here, I muttered to the spirit. I guess we should keep looking. It seemed like hours had passed while we circled over the mountains and dales, but nothing called out to me as clean and pure. We hovered over the valley where we'd slaughtered waves of green glass sect assassins, and I shook my head with disappointment. The land nearly screamed with the need to be healed, so it clearly wasn't cleansed or purified enough to be able to use for the Redeem Evincio ceremony. The king clearly said the land couldn't be tainted by war and hatred, and I'd brought enough of both to that fight. It had been Olivier's last time to get away from me, though the memory brought a burning fire to my chest. I'd wanted nothing more than to roast him alive, but returning him to my dragon mate for his final execution had been nearly as satisfying. Valera had waited a long time to exact her revenge on the so-called sage for killing her family and countless other dragons, so I knew she deserved to watch him take his last breath.
My lord, has anything, called out to you?
Iskander called out over the wind.
Nothing, I yelled back with a frown. One place has called out like it needs healing, though.
Why not heal it, then?
Mariah wondered. We don't have time for all that, I muttered. though I felt a twinge of sadness as I replied. I mean, it can wait until after the ceremony.
But what if it doesn't have to wait?
The spirit mused. What do you mean? I pressed. I could see Mariah in my mind's eye as she paced back and forth along the beach of my spiritual sea, and she twirled a lock of her white blonde hair around her finger as she thought out loud. Well, sort of.
I mean, what if you healed it now?
She asked.
What if you cleansed it with your healing magic so it could be used for the ceremony?
The thought stopped me mid-flight, and I turned it over and over in my head, but one blaring problem came to mind. The king said he had to have a big group of magical guys cleanse the cliffs, I argued. How am I supposed to do the same thing by myself?
I doubt any of them had both healing and nature magic at their disposal,
Mariah shot back with a smile. I hovered for a few seconds as I considered my spirit lover's statement. She had to be right about that part for sure. I had a variety of magical abilities as a dragon because I assimilated them, which meant I possessed combinations no mage or sorcerer ever would. They might have needed a team of mages the first time, but I was practically a team by myself.
"What's going on, Lord Devon?" Iskander asked as he hovered next to me. "You seem deep in thought."
"Mariah has an idea," I murmured. "The valley where we fought the sect, it's the one that also is in need of healing. She asked if I could heal it enough to purify it for the ceremony."
"Ooh, interesting," he replied, and looked back toward the valley. "What do you think?"
"I know I've combined different magics before, so I'm thinking if I put healing and nature together, it could work," I said, and pointed back in the direction of the location. "Let's go check it out from a tactical point of view."
"Good idea,"
the white dragon agreed. We zoomed back over the valley and landed between the peaks with dual thuds. Then we shifted into our human forms as we began to walk the perimeter. The narrow river that ran across the center of the grassy area was no longer tainted with the murky miasma poisoning, but the water still reached out with its desire to be fully cleansed. The mountains towered over us, and only two entrances were allowed by their gaps. One led to the forest where Nike and I had chased Olivier, and the other was in the direction of the White Jade Temple. I jogged over to the second opening and realized the valley was even closer to the castle than I'd realized. It was a fairly short trek from the temple to the valley, which meant it wouldn't be too difficult for the king to get here for each ceremony. "Not bad," I murmured. "This location is actually pretty great."
"I agree," Iskander nodded his head as he looked around. "No hidden cliff faces for serpents or queras to sneak up on us, which makes it easier to guard and defend. Any truly efficient attacks would have to come from above, and you and I can take on anything that appears in the sky."
"Absolutely," I chuckled. "Now, if only I felt as confident in my ability to cleanse it."
"You're the most powerful being in Rama,"
Iskander replied with a note of surprise in his voice.
"Why wouldn't you be able to do it?"
The white dragon's response seemed to strike a chord with me. He was right. We'd bound my powers with Aliona's and the Child of Light's magic already, and that had increased my ability exponentially. And my own child's power had joined Aliona's and, therefore, mine once she became pregnant. I'd likely quadrupled my strength already, so there was nothing holding me back except trying. "Okay, I'll do it," I grunted, as I unsheathed the Sword of Hatra. "Might need a little help, though."
"I don't think that'll be a problem,"
Mariah giggled. I changed my grip on the sword a few times as I looked over the gorge and tried to decide how I would begin. I thought of how we'd pulled the Gesh curses from Olivier's victims, and I pressed the tip of the blade into the soil. Together, the sword spirit and I pushed a wave of healing magic out of the blade and into the ground, and the power surged from my body and barely touched the ground at my feet before it retreated back inside me.
"Well, that didn't work," I muttered and shook my head. "Let's go again."
Minutes turned into an hour as I tried over and over to release a wave of healing over the valley, only to have the land return it to me without an explanation. I shoved the sword of healing further into the ground, as though it needed a deeper connection to make my ability work, but my efforts were fruitless. I held the sword above my head and tried to channel the healing power into the sky, but the glittering blanket of magic merely floated overhead for a few seconds before it also returned to the blade. Finally, I dropped to my knees and laid the sword of Hatra across the ground as I looked up at the sky above me.
Ugh! Why isn't it working? I growled in frustration. I combined powers before.
You combined two physical abilities that you have control over,
Mariah soothed me.
This is different.
How?
I clenched my fists and resisted pounding one into the soil beneath me.
How is it different?
You don't have control over nature,
she replied in a calm voice.
You work with nature, and it listens to you. Focus on the ground beneath you, the sound of the river running to your right, the sounds of the forest to your left. Take a breath of the fresh air.
I closed my eyes and let my fingers relax against the soil as she spoke to me from my spiritual sea. The trickle of the water seemed to echo in my head, and soon I could pick out the calls of several different creatures within the forest. I inhaled a long breath and released it as my shoulders relaxed. The sword spirit seemed to have awakened something inside me, and suddenly I could feel everything. Every little pinprick of wind on my face, the individual drops of water that rushed through the ground next to me, and the grains of soil beneath my fingertips all flowed into my body as though we were one. And as I brought them closer and closer to my soul, I opened the door to my healing magic. The glittering power burst out from my chest and soared like a ray of light, and it soared across the valley in all directions. I could feel the darkness ooze out of every atom in the gorge, and in my mind's eye, I could see the black droplets of evil evaporate into the air like a dark rain working in reverse. My nature magic hummed and sang with a glorious feeling of joy as each bit of negative energy left until only the pure natural magic remained. When I opened my eyes again, the bright colors of the valley felt like they nearly blinded me with their intensity. The water trickled happily on its path, the grass was thick and lush, and even the dying flowers along the riverbank had begun to grow once more. Life seemed to have bloomed again in the valley, and Mariah twirled around on the bank of my spiritual sea with a look of bliss on her face.
You did it!
She squealed.
I knew you could do it!
Thank you, I replied. Are you sure it's good?
I think so,
Mariah said.
You should have the dryads and the king check to be certain, but it truly feels like a new world here.
Oh, this is incredible, I breathed as I dragged my fingers through the green grass.
I feel like this is even more pure than the cliffs were,
Iskander observed with a smile.
I think His Majesty will be quite pleased.
Well, I don't know how to do the layer of protection he did, but hopefully he can add that on, I murmured.
Then we should go tell him immediately,
the white dragon said before he began his transformation. I followed suit, and a few seconds later we flapped our wings in unison and headed for the temple. The king, Nike, Castor, Carmen, and my lovers waited on the balcony with matching looks of apprehension until they saw me bare my fangs in excitement.
I take it you found a place,
Rodion said, as he rose from his chair and stood at the railing while Iskander and I hovered next to it. Well, it's more like I made one, I replied. I purified it with my healing magic, and I know that wouldn't normally be enough, but I combined it with my nature magic.
Brilliant!
Trina gasped, and the other two dryads grinned.
I never considered that,
the king mused as he rubbed his chin.
Where did you choose?
The place that called out to me. I shrugged my large shoulders. The valley where we fought the sect before. I know you said to look for a place that spoke to me as being cleansed, but that place spoke to me differently. The land begged to be cleansed, so I did it.
What a fantastic idea,
Aliona gushed. It was Mariah's, I explained. She helped me with the sword, too. I just didn't know how to add the protection at the end.
That is the easiest part, Rodion said with a smile. I believe my daughter and I will be able to handle that. Shall we go see what you've accomplished?
Be my guest, I grinned, as Aliona began to open a portal to the valley. Meet you there. As the group began to walk through the portal, Iskander and I zoomed back over the mountains. I knew we didn't have a chance at beating a portal, but we seemed to have an unspoken understanding that we would try to beat each other instead. By the time we landed, we were both laughing until we noticed the dryads laid face down in the dirt near the river.
Are they all right?
Iskander whispered once we'd shifted to our human forms.
I'm not sure, I muttered.
We strode closer to the group, and I realized the dryads' faces weren't quite in the ground like I'd thought, but they were incredibly close. Isabella and Skye squatted on either side of the sisters, and King Rodion stood over all of them with his eyes closed.
He's checking your cleansing, but so far it looks very promising,
Aliona murmured once I was closer.
The dryad said they've never felt anywhere so pure, and something about the Green Mother being very happy with you.
Well, hey, at least I got something right, I joked.
The Green Mother being pleased with you is a great honor,
Mariah said in a soft voice.
She usually only cares about her children.
Ah, another of my in-laws who was pleased with my work. That task had seemed way harder on Earth when I led a much less exciting life.
Aliona, if you're ready, we can begin,
Rodion drawled as he held his hand out with his palm facing up. The princess stepped forward and took her father's hand while they began to recite the spell that would add a layer of protection to the valley.
What are they doing?
Carmen whispered as she leaned closer.
Is it more magic?
Yeah, it's the only part I didn't know how to do, I explained. Well, I didn't really know how to do the part I did either, but it worked. Anyway, they can protect the healing I did to the valley, so it'll always be pure for us to use for the Redeemi Vincio ceremony.
Do you plan to do more of them?
The Nepin woman's eyes widened in surprise as she turned to look at me.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we have a few more to go, I answered with a smile. Skye will be the third person to do the ceremony with me. Aliona was the first. Once I've bonded with each bloodline from the noble swords, we'll be able to take on the breach.
It does seem much worse when we're here,
she murmured.
When we're in Yorosa, we're so far away from the rest of Rama's problems, it didn't exactly feel like something I could allow Skye to do. Putting herself at risk for a fantastical problem like the breach felt so silly. But now...
She's incredibly brave, I countered. And the breach doesn't feel real until you see it, I get that.
It is done, Rodion declared.
And he, Aliona, and my nature lovers rose from their positions with expressions of fiery determination.
Let's get this party started, I said with a grin.